Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is August 2nd, 2022, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out the History of Trading videos on the MarketsWiki Education page of johnlothiannews.com, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. This morning at 9 a.m. London time, 3 a.m. Chicago time, JLN published a commentary from ICE Chief Development Officer Chris Edmonds titled, "The Failed Promise of Unregulated Crypto." The commentary has subsequently been published on the ICE website. What prompted Mr. Edmonds to step up to his bully pulpit slash keyboard was the market response to NASDAQ, or, quote, another venture, as he put it, abandoning plans for a crypto repository. He reminds everyone of all the hard work put in to build, quote, a fully regulated, physically delivered crypto futures market with institutional-grade custody provided by ICE's then-subsidiary BACT, unquote. Despite building a physically deliverable market with a custodian to store physical Bitcoin with round-the-clock, state-of-the-art security, BACT, quote, offered the most regulated environment for institutions to trade an unregulated asset class, unquote. Ultimately, the market did not value, then or now, a physically delivered crypto market, Edmonds wrote. Lastly, and this is the most important part, Edmonds lays out why the current regulatory structure of the derivatives markets works and why crypto can only develop as a true asset class if it, quote, follows existing regulation under which markets in the real world operate, unquote. It is important to remember that Chris Edmonds of ICE was a strong and clear voice in opposition to FTX and its proposals to upend the current market structure that works so well. He may well not have received some of the press CME Group's Terry Duffy did for his opposition to Sam Bankman-Fried, but Edmonds was just as much a hero of the FTX wars. The Financial Times is reporting European IPOs fall to lowest level since 2009. The subheading of the story is companies raise just 2.4 billion euros through stock market listings in the first half of the year. The Wall Street Journal editorial board has weighed in on the SEC's attempt to rewrite money market rules with a piece titled Gary Gensler's Money Market Gamble, with the subheading, the SEC's third trial of transfer firm creates new financial risks, unquote. On the other hand, the New York Times editorial board decided to address the big story of the day, the indictment of former President Donald Trump by special counsel Jack Smith for Trump's, quote, attempt to undermine the Constitution and overturn the results of the 2020 election, hoping to stay in office, unquote. The editorial is titled, A President Accused of Betraying His Country. The FIA welcomed Cumulus 9, a cloud-native service provider focused on elevating transparency and predictability in exchange-traded derivatives margin methodologies, as a new member of the trade association. The firm serves market participants challenged by intricate margin models and complex risk exposures. It was on August 1st, 1981, at age 39, that Michael Bloomberg was laid off. That began his work on an idea that became Bloomberg. He shared this story on LinkedIn. The August edition of Focus from the World Federation of Exchanges is out. It is issue number 75. Michael Blaugrund shared on LinkedIn that he is starting a new position as Chief Executive Officer at Drive Wealth. He was previously the Chief Operating Officer of the New York Stock Exchange. He's our Markets Wiki page of the day, by the way. After a recent $1 billion Powerball lottery jackpot, the Mega Millions jackpot has reached $1.25 billion for this Friday's drawing, the New York Times reports. For you with incredible luck or who lack math skills, here is your chance. The UN Sustainable Stock Exchange Initiative, SSE, Global Dialogue, the main global platform for convening dialogue on sustainable capital markets, takes place this year from October 16th to 20th at the World Investment Forum in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. Held once every 2 years, the SSE Global Dialogue is the largest global gathering of stock exchange CEOs exclusively devoted to sustainable finance. As the SSE's flagship event, the Global Dialogue brings together CEOs from the SSE's 130 partner exchanges around the world. Sessions will examine stock exchanges' sustainability initiatives around gender equality, net zero finance, carbon markets, sustainable finance, finance for human rights, stock exchange action on climate change, and sustainability reporting standards and regulations. Attendance is free. You can learn more and register for the UN SSE Global Dialogue with the link in today's newsletter. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN Options were Cboe's Iori Sorokinov talks with JLN at IDX London about European derivatives space, how a machine learning model closed a hidden FX arbitrage gap, and stocks could sink into a bear market recession, technicians say. Here are five signals on when it likely starts. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have another video from our FIA IDX coverage, this one with Clive Furness. The headline, Contango CEO Clive Furness on AI, volatility, and ESG in the commodity space. John Lothian News correspondent Julie Ross caught up with Contango CEO Clive Furness right after he had moderated a panel at FIA IDX London 2023 called The Great Debate. The debate was on the question of whether AI will spell the end of our markets as we know them. Furness said the two fantastic teams debated with much humor. The motion was defeated, meaning the House did not believe AI would end markets as we know them. Nevertheless, there are still important questions that need to be addressed, Furness said. Here's the commentary from Chris Edmonds. The failed promise of unregulated crypto, Chris Edmonds, Chief Development Officer, ICE. Markets have short memories. 4 years ago, ICE created a fully regulated, physically delivered crypto futures market with institutional-grade custody provided by ICE's then-subsidiary BACT. The custodian was regulated by the New York State Department of Financial Services, a license which is rightly not easy to obtain, and all crypto transactions were protected by our highly regulated clearinghouse. Why did we start here? The answer is simple. The history of markets shows that physically delivered commodities provide price signals and allowing such pricing to occur in a transparent manner with clear rules increases consumer confidence. My comment. Chris Edmonds is a stout defender of the performance of our current market structure and all the thoughtful time and effort that went into creating it. Here's a story from Forecast. The headline, tokenization could bring mass adoption to crypto or trigger disaster opinion. It's been a common thread of the crypto industry over the years. A new application built on blockchain comes to life, promising to be the tipping point for broad adoption, only to be thwarted by bad actors. FTX was positioning itself as a pro-regulation exchange, promising a bright future for all, until it collapsed after mismanaging investor funds and fraudulent behavior. Similarly, crypto lender Celsius was brimming with potential until it went insolvent, leaving $1.3 billion in funds missing. Bad business practices have continuously eroded progress in crypto. My comment, maybe we need to do a little bit more work to erase the or trigger disaster end to that sentence. Here's a story from CoinDesk. The headline, DeFi died, and we didn't even notice. Decentralized finance, or DeFi, died yesterday. No protocols actually failed or tokens crashed to zero, though that was a distinct possibility. The interlinked economy of intermediary-less lenders, exchanges, and trading tools is still, technically speaking, chugging along. But the spirit that propelled DeFi forward, the dream of disintermediating money from power and providing easy access to basic and complex financial products without fear or favor, is dead. And it wasn't the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, that did it, but DeFi itself. My comment, I want a congressional investigation into this death. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. FTX says legacy customers could become exchange's new owners. The bankrupt company's first draft of its reorganization plan proposes to turn international customers into part owners. FTX laid out its first vision of the crypto company's future after bankruptcy, saying it could hand over stakes in a rebooted exchange to customers who are owed more than $9 billion in deposits the company can't locate. The management team guiding FTX through bankruptcy will try to reboot its international exchange, FTX.com, according to a bankruptcy reorganization plan filed Monday. The company also said it may try to bridge any shortfall of funds owed to those customers by offering them, quote, equity securities, tokens, or other interests, unquote, in the restarted platform. My comment. Here, pick from this bag of jewels, and I will trade them for the island of Manhattan. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, To Catch a Trader, How Banks Got Raided in Hunt for Tax Cheats. A fixed income specialist turned crime buster plumbs the secrets of five European banks. The police are staked out. The second hand swept 12. Allez go! Two squads descended near the Opera Garnier. Another struck by the Arc de Triomphe. A fourth converged across the Seine on the left bank. And a fifth swarmed La Défense, the business district to the west. The marks, five major banks, all of them suspected of being involved in what is perhaps the greatest tax heist in the history of France. On the scene that Tuesday was Claire Lemanner, a lead investigator in the hunt, and a figure who might bring mine to Hitchcock's To Catch a Thief. My comment, I can't wait for the movie version of this to come out. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was The Real Scandal of Central Bank Digital Currency, an opinion piece by Andy Haldane in the Financial Times. Second was a tie between The Crypto Couple is Set to Plead Guilty to $4.5 Billion Bitcoin Heist. Here's How the Saga Unfolded from Business Insider. And Notice of Disciplinary Action Against Alessandro Bonofini from the CME Group. Third was DeSantis accuses Biden of war on Bitcoin, vows to stop it if elected president, from CoinDesk. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Crypto Rules Delay Put Billions in Tax Revenue at Risk. Democratic senators are pressing Biden administration to speed up release of regulations tied to 2021 law. Implementation of a law to catch crypto tax cheats is delayed inside the Treasury Department, putting billions of dollars in federal revenue at risk and frustrating members of the president's own party. The department missed its first deadline to implement a 2021 law in time for the current tax year. Now, following further delays, it might be too close to late for tax year 2024. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, Wall Street reaped ruble fortune on clients fleeing from Russia. Kazakh. Armenian banks acted as go-between, people say. Other banks avoided trade for compliance reasons, people say. Wall Street chiefs seeking to explain recent steep drops in trading revenue have reminded investors how lucrative things were a year ago. Goldman Sachs Inc. President John Waldron called 2022 particularly strong. Citigroup Inc. boss Jane Fraser said everything was firing on all cylinders. And then here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, private equity hedge funds brace for coming SEC overhaul. Regulators could adopt new rules for firms such as Blackstone and Millennium as soon as this month. Private equity and hedge funds are bracing for what could be the biggest regulatory challenge in years to their business of managing money for deep-pocketed investors. The Securities and Exchange Commission is preparing to adopt a rule package as soon as this month, aiming to bring greater transparency and competition to the multi-trillion-dollar private funds industry, people familiar with the matter said. SEC Chair Gary Gensler has said he hopes to bring down fees and expenses that cost hundreds of billions of dollars a year. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.